Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to the podcast from Live the Promise.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Hope it's been a great day for you so far. Well, here's a question for you, rhetorical sort of, but I think it may apply to many of you. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you weary? Do you lack energy? Do you long for a renewed sense of momentum and passion and focus in your life? Well, you came to the right place. You know, last week we talked about physical balance, rhythm, and momentum. And today we're going to talk about spiritual balance, rhythm, and momentum. I'll be drawing from the content from my book, In Over Your Head. And for those who followed me for a while, you may know about this book from 13, 14 years ago. It used to be called Balance That Works When Life Doesn't. It ran its course for a number of years, and then we sort of put it to bed. And now it's revised and updated under a new title, new cover, and just updated information. It's titled In Over Your Head, Creating Balance, Finding Peace in the Busy. We've got 5 copies, thanks to Harvest House, 5 more copies to give away today. All you have to do is email, but this time we're doing it a little different. I want you to email me directly, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie spelled S-U-S-I-E @myfaithradio.com. And you can either put In Over Your Head or Balance in the subject line, so I'll know that this is the book you're interested in. Well, Encarta Dictionary defines balance this way: a state in which various elements form a satisfying and harmonious whole. Hear that again. A state in which various elements of your life, they form a satisfying and a harmonious whole, and nothing is out of proportion or unduly emphasized at the expense of the rest. Nothing is out of proportion or unduly emphasized at the expense of the rest. My husband just even said today, he says, anybody can be a hero in one or two areas of your life and neglect everything else. You know, it takes real conviction and foresight and focus and discipline to really live consistently in every sphere of your life. And I've heard people say, just shun the idea that balance is not possible. Well, I think there are certain forms of balance that aren't possible. If your picture of balance is a one-size-fits-all, where there's just one bullseye for everybody to hit, no, it is not attainable. Because you literally, as I said this last week, you could line 10, 20 people up in front of the room. Balance would look different on each one of you, because we're each in a different season of life. Obedience would look like different on all of us. One of you might be coming out of the war, where you just need a season of rest, and it's a Sabbath season for you. One of you, you're in the war, and your obedience looks so different as to hold your fort, to stand tall, you know, hold your faith, I should say. And it doesn't, you don't need to be committing to more things right now. Your obedience is to hold your ground and stand strong. So as you see, everybody's in a different season. Obedience looks different, and balance looks different. So as I thought a lot about this, this book came out of a severe burnout for me, for my husband, and even in our marriage over 20 years ago. And the principles that we implemented that are in this book, and they're also in our book, Your Sacred Yes, which kind of takes it to another level. But those things are still bearing fruit in our lives 20 years later. And that's why I'm super excited to share this with you. But something that we both learned back then is that there actually are 3 components to true balance that apply to everybody. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every person economically. I mean, you think about it, these 3 components apply to every one of us, and here they are: input, output, and recovery, or rest. Input, output, and rest. So if you consider physical balance and spiritual balance, we all nourish ourselves. So physical input would be your diet. It would also be who you expose yourself to, and as far as, sorry, I'm going to say that better, who you walk with, the crowd that you walk with, the kinds of entertainment that you allow or ingest, okay? All of that stuff is input into your life. Output is your response to what's been deposited in you. And rest, it's that time of recovery for your output, okay? So if you think about that, and you think about each of our lives, if you're in a season where you're caregiving a sick parent, your output is significant. Well, you need to make provision for your input, because it's not sustainable to unduly emphasize one at the expense of the others, okay? Or maybe you're in a season where you have all kinds of time and space for input, and that's great, but there's something God requires of you in this time, something he wants for you, so that, because we're not blessed just to be blessed, we're blessed to be a blessing. And then for all of us, in every season, we're called to recover. We're called to build into our lives rest. And so there, true balance has got an ebb and a flow. It's got a rhythm to it and momentum to it, really, okay? So this is what's true. In every situation, there's a best way to nourish yourself. There's a best way to respond to what's been deposited in you, and there's a best way to be replenished. And we talked about this last week, so just a quick review before we dig into spiritual nourishment and spiritual response and spiritual recovery. Balance is not a perfectly put together appearance. Although some may make that their goal, it's not a sustainable goal. And if your whole goal is to look good, you will isolate yourself, you will alienate others, and you will either be filled with pride or despair. But if you are pursuing the ebb and flow that Jesus provides, you will in due time probably appear more put together. But it's not the end game, right? Balance is not a perfectly managed schedule. If you make that your goal, right, a perfectly managed schedule or a perfectly managed budget, it will affect your relationships, and negatively so, because that's not the goal. The goal is to stay in step with Jesus. But as you do that, you probably will manage your time and your finances better. All right, a balance is not a life free of conflict. You're going to have conflict in this life, but the truth is you'll have more conflict when you're out of whack, when you're out of step with a Savior, when you're committing to things God never asked you to do. You're going to disappoint yourself, you're going to disappoint others, and it puts undue stress unnecessarily on all kinds of people. So as you stay in step with the Savior and you're able to say yes and no to the things God's calling you to, you know, conflict will go down. You'll still have conflict. We all do. We live in a fallen world. But when you understand that those aren't the end game, they're not the end goal, staying in step with Jesus is responding to what he says, you can do this. As you correctly discern your particular season of life, and then you determine with God the best way to nourish your body and your soul during this time, and then you determine what obedience and stewardship look like here, you will find the best way to rest and recover and find an ebb and a rhythm. So what season are you in? What season are you in? I'd love to know. In fact, you can email me. I'm not taking calls today, but I'd love for you to chime into the conversation. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Do you feel like you're in the war right now, or you're coming out of it, or you're in a season of recovery? Maybe you just are barren, and it's been a while since you sensed God's presence. What your input, what your output, and what your recovery looks like really will be connected to the season you're in. And that's why you cannot compare yourself to anybody else. And I would say deep inside, you probably know what your soul needs. You know what feels life-giving, right? And the end goal is always to be in step with the Savior, to follow his lead. You know why? Because his will for you is your best case scenario. So I want you to hear Psalm 23 like you're hearing it for the first time. I'm going to read it in the voice translation. And if you're driving, don't close your eyes. But if you're somewhere where you can close your eyes and just breathe this in, but I want you just to pause and try to give me your full attention as I read this passage, Psalm 23, probably like you've never heard it before. It's in the voice translation. The Eternal is my shepherd. He cares for me always. He provides me rest in rich green fields, beside streams of refreshing water. He soothes my fears. He makes me whole again, steering me off worn, hard paths. Listen to this. To roads where truth and righteousness echo his name. Even in the unending shadows of death's darkness, I'm not overcome by fear, because you are with me in those dark moments, near with your protection and guidance. I'm comforted. You spread out a table before me, provisions in the midst of attack from my enemies. You care for all my needs, anointing my head with soothing, fragrant oil, filling my cup again and again with your grace. Certainly your faithful protection and loving provision will pursue me where I go, always and everywhere. Hear that again. Certainly, Lord, your faithful protection, your loving provision, they'll pursue me where I go, always, everywhere. I will always be with the Eternal in your house forever. Isn't that great? So in this second half of the book, In Over Your Head, I talk spiritual health, and I open with a chapter titled, God Enjoys You. And if you just hopped in the car, we're talking about spiritual balance and rhythm, drawing from my book, In Over Your Head. But this particular chapter, it's so important. I start with the idea that God enjoys you, because to me, balance and rhythm, momentum, focus, power in our lives, it starts and it ends with Jesus. And it starts and ends with understanding, first and foremost, he loved us first. We love because he loved us first. Remember, it's not how high we can jump. It's that he stooped down to make us great. And I remember when our boys were young, and my middle son, Luke, who just always was square peg in a round hole in different ways, he just thought differently. He marched to a beat of a different drummer. And we're always trying to find ways to engage him in different things that would perk his interest so we could see what he was good at and where his passions lie. And one particular time, we signed him up for a karate class. And, you know, it was a fail. It didn't work out well. But it was he looked adorable, if I can just say, in that white little outfit with a little belt, you know. But anyway, I'm standing off to the side with other parents, and I'm watching, and all these kids are standing in line, and this instructor was just harsh and rough and barking orders at everybody. And of course, you know, he wanted them to understand good form and obedience and discipline and focus. And I guess that was one of Luke's issues a bit. But he's standing in line, and there were some kids also in line behind him that got antsy, got tired of waiting. So they decided to take kind of matters into their own hands. And when the instructor wasn't looking, they stepped out of line and they ran and they threw themselves up against this mat that was attached to the wall. And then they'd fall down and they'd giggle. They did it over and over again. I watched Luke just smile as he's watching them, just amused by them. And I could tell he didn't really have the guts to go do that, and he shouldn't, because the instructor said, stand there and wait till it's your turn. But the boys came back, and they said, you should do it. And he just paused, and they go, what are you, chicken? And that's all it took. And Luke took off, ran hard, slammed himself into the mat, fell down, and laughed at himself. Just then, the instructor turned and looked at Luke, missed the other ones. He grabbed him by the arm. He yanked him in front of the class. He berated him. He yelled at him. He embarrassed him. I watched my sweet son's cheeks just turn bright red. He was so humiliated. And the other boys just kind of ducked into the shadows and left him standing alone. And I was just overcome with affection for Luke at that moment. I was overcome with love for him. Yes, I knew he shouldn't have stepped out of line. But to me, in the context of the bigger scenario, that was small compared to the kind of the injustice of what happened in that moment. And you know what? It's like that with God. He loves you, and he cares about what you do. He cares about what's been done to you. But he cares so much more about what it's done in you. And he will address our sin. He will address our issues. But he's such a loving father that he sees the whole picture. He sees when you've been set up. He sees when you've been tripped up. He sees when you maybe have done something for the right motive, but it ended in all the wrong ways. He loves you. He enjoys you. He's on your side. And he doesn't miss a thing. He doesn't miss a thing. So if someone has stabbed you in the back, if someone has set you up, if you tried to do something right and just didn't turn out, God sees. He knows. He's for you, and he loves you. And if we, being sinful parents, can see our kids with such affection in a broader context, how much more can God do that for us? You've got to know how he feels about you, because that is where everything starts. It's where everything ends. We're going to pause here and take a break, but we're going to pick it up when we come back. The whole idea that God enjoys us. And since he enjoys us, we have to let him fill us. And he can fill us when we're not filling ourselves with everything else. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, drawing from the content of my book, In Over Your Head, Creating Balance, Finding Peace in the Busy. We've got 5 copies. I'd love to get one into your hands. Just email me this time, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put balance or in over your head in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address. And if you want to tell me what season you're in, I'd sure love to know. And we will be back in a minute.
Encore presentation of Live the Promise with Susie Larson.
Love that song. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. Today we're talking about spiritual momentum, spiritual rhythm and balance. Last week we drew from the content of my book, In Over Your Head, Creating Balance and Finding Peace in the Busy. The whole first half of the book is physical health. We talked about that last week. Talking today about spiritual health, and based on the premise of input, output, and rest. This kind of balance is attainable no matter what season of life you're in, because you need to discern the season you're in. You have to discern what these three levers are doing in your life. How much input are you able to get? So if you are in a season, if it's all output, as I said, you're caring for an aged parent or you've got a child that's requiring lots of attention, you've got a lot of output, you've got to make provision to get input, because you can't emphasize one at the expense of the other without crashing and burning eventually. If you're in a short-term crisis, all bets are off, because that's an acute crisis. You just got to put your attention there. But if you're in a long-term crisis, maybe you've got a loved one with cancer or a husband who's got a job job out of town or whatever that is, and it's long term and it's not what you want, but it is what it is, you've got to make provisions for some rest, for some exercise, for some spiritual nourishment. So again, we're talking spiritual nourishment today. So there's input. That's your spiritual diet, but it's also the people you walk with and what you ingest, even entertainment wise. So whatever you take in, that's your nourishment. Okay. And then output is your response to what's been ingested, basically. So God has poured into you through this radio show, maybe a book or a particular speaker, or your church service on the weekends. And then he wants to charge you to engage your faith muscles and be a part of the solution. Just like when we eat, we need to exercise to balance it out. If it's too much food in, not enough calories out, not enough physical muscle engagement out, you will have imbalance. So there's input, output, and recovery. But I'm talking about this first, the idea that God enjoys you. He loves you, because it has to start here. This is what nourishes the soul, knowing and believing that we are the object of God's intimate and powerful love. This is the core to living a healthy, balanced life. And if we build our lives on any other hope, any other striving, trying to prove anything, we'll be disappointed. It's not sustainable. It's just not. But if we wake up every day, remind ourselves that we are unequivocally loved, we're cherished, we're enjoyed, it will affect how we see ourselves, how we think about others, and what we choose to do with our time. You want to know what will change you from the inside out? What will help you experience life-transforming, noticeable change is when you decide, you take the leap of faith to know and believe and understand that your name is written on the hand of Almighty God, that you're someone he sings over, rejoices over. Every time he thinks of you, it's with a pure and loving heart. Isn't that amazing? Now, this is not to say he loves everything we do. He's concerned about our sin. Yes, Scripture says he disciplines those he loves. But his love is never up for grabs. Nothing can separate us from his love. So, as we walk with him, he helps us grow and to become more like him. He's perfectly paid for our sins, and he's in the process of making us holy. That's what Scripture says. But when we, in our mind's eye, feel tolerated at best and unlovingly assessed at worst, we will instinctively pull inward. We'll self-protect. We'll close up. So if you've projected onto God, maybe a relationship you had with a parent or a spouse, if you feel barely tolerated or even unlovingly assessed, you will instinctively pull inward. You'll self-protect. You'll close up. Why? Because we're made for and we're drawn to love. Love is the oxygen for our souls. Yet so many Christians believe God just simply tolerates them. So what's the result? They strive and strain, and they try to prove themselves until they're utterly exhausted. Then they turn to counterfeit solutions to numb their disappointment and satisfy their deepest longing, only to find themselves more captive and even depleted, more so than they once were. What we believe about God's heart for us is critical and central to living a balanced, fruitful life. And most near to his heart is that we believe that we're the object of his love, that he came to save us, not to condemn us, because we are his reward. So how do we come to understand that truth? Well, Scripture says knowing the Holy One results in understanding. That's Proverbs 9:10. Bo Stern, I love her work. I love her writing is just fantastic. She writes this: the knowledge that I'm completely known and completely loved is too wonderful. My thoughts cannot capture or contain it. God sees every detail, from my wild success to my deepest sin and sorrow. And he loves me in spite of all my messes and mistakes. God's love searches for me, calls me out of hiding, and assures me that it's safe to be broken in front of him. It's right and good to need grace. The one who made us knows us and loves us. He loves every single particle of us and invites us to acknowledge the grandeur of his workmanship. That's from Bo Stern. Isn't that great? So why do you suppose we live like paupers in our souls when God has offered us so much? Why do we commit to more than we have time for and then live harried, frantic lives? We trade our joy for a high level of stress. What belief makes us do that, you think? Financially, we live often beyond our means, spending money we've not yet earned. Is this because we don't trust that God is good? When it comes to faith, most of us live beneath our means, I would say. We have access to the glorious riches of God's storehouse. I mean, study the book of Ephesians and you'll see who we are and what we possess. Could God have possibly given us more than his son to express his love for us? Yet he not only offered his pure, precious Son as a sacrifice for our sins, he gave us the Holy Spirit to comfort and guide us and to direct us during our journey on this earth. So because of Jesus' sacrifice, we have fresh mercies waiting for us every morning. God has even placed it in the hearts of certain people to love us. You believe that? There's certain people that just are crazy about you. There's people in my life that I feel like I have a God-ordained love for. Well, when people love us, it's a gift from God. That might even do something for your soul today, to pause and think about the people whose face light up when they see you. And here's another great gift from God. Every morning he paints a new sky. Every night he reveals the stars once again. He doesn't do any of these things for his health. He does them for ours. It nourishes us to be fully aware of the ways God is working around us every single day. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Do you want more and more of God's kindness and peace? Then learn to know him better. For as you know him better, he will give you, through his great power, everything you need for living a truly good life. He even shares his own glory and his own goodness with us." Isn't that amazing when you think about it? Well, at the end of each chapter of this book, I actually posted this question on Facebook. What keeps you balanced? What keeps you grounded? And at the end of each chapter, I posted some of these people, their testimonies, because I thought, you know, again, balance looks different on all of us. What keeps you balanced and grounded is probably different than what keeps me grounded. But you need to discern what that is. And then you need to be okay with drawing some lines with people so that you can nourish yourself. Because I'm telling you what, you put a few hours a week into your physical and spiritual health, you will last long and finish strong. You will acquire a spiritual momentum in your life. But we get out of balance when we neglect our physical and spiritual health. We just do. Because, and you know what happens? We crowd out that time that really is set aside for time with God and time really to care for your health, and we fill it with other things, but that's not adding strength to our spirit. It's not adding strength to our bodies. And then we wonder why we get exhausted and have that tired headache all the time. So this is what Pam, at the end of, just a friend of mine, actually, this is her testimony and answer to what keeps you balanced, what keeps you grounded. She says, "I remind myself that God's design in me was not a mistake. So I ask myself, am I living true to my personality type, spiritual gifts, and strengths?" I dare you to ask that. Are you living true to your personality type, your gifts, and your strengths? For example, as an introvert, I need to put my refreshing time of exercise or quiet time on the calendar first. This doesn't excuse me from serving in areas that aren't my strengths. We all need to step up and pitch in to bless those in our community. But if my motivation or my motivating passion is for recognition and not genuine selfless giving, it will drain me. Do you hear that? If my motivating passion is for recognition and not genuine selfless giving, it will drain me. Sometimes life's rhythms are predictable and calm, but more often than not, they're symphony filled with tensions that don't resolve in our timing. This is not a problem to solve, but a tension to manage. And with God's help, we can live it for his glory. Isn't that fantastic? What keeps you balanced and grounded? I would absolutely love to know that from you. As we're drawing from this content of my book, In Over Your Head, Creating Balance, I should know the subtitle by now, and I have to keep looking at it, Creating Balance and Finding Peace in the Busy. What I'm trying to do here with spiritual input, spiritual output, and rest is for you to discern your season, discern what nourishes you, what feeds you, discern where you're charged to serve, how you're charged to engage your faith muscle, and then discern where you rest. So when we come back, we'll talk about spiritual laws to live by. I think they'll be very helpful, but we're going to pause here and take a quick break. Want you to know we've got 5 copies of In Over Your Head. I would love for you to email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie spelled S-U-S-I-E. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put In Over Your Head or balance in that subject line, and don't forget the mailing address. We'll be back in a minute.
This is an encore presentation of Live the Promise with Susie Larson.
Don't you give up on a miracle. You gotta speak to the impossible. Oh, you gotta break till you break the wind.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking today about spiritual rhythm and balance. Last week, we addressed physical rhythm and balance, drawing from content of my book, In Over Your Head, Creating Balance and Finding Peace in the Busy. Today, we're talking spiritual momentum. What's so interesting is that there are spiritual and physical laws in place. And when I say laws, I'm not talking legalism. I'm talking cause and effect, you know, like gravity or inertia versus momentum, right? Atrophy versus muscular strength, that kind of thing. There are laws in place that apply to us physically and spiritually. So we're going to look at what it looks like to nourish yourself, what it looks like to engage yourself physically, engage your faith. Like maybe you're in a battle right now. You actually are engaging your spiritual muscle. You don't even realize it. It might feel like wax on, wax off to you right now because you've got to do the same thing over and over again to keep your heart and mind in a place of peace. That is spiritual battle. That's muscle engagement. But the point is that true balance and rhythm involves three components: input, output, and recovery. And though balance looks different on all of us, these three things apply to us. So the goal here is to discern the season that you're in. Discern what you need for nourishment, what you need, what God is calling you for response, and what you need for rest. And this isn't just about you, but it's so it can be sustainable so that you can be a blessing to the world around you and do it in a way that's fruitful, that is healthy, that, again, is sustainable. It's just important. Discern the season you're in, because many, many Christians are all output and there's not enough input, and then they wonder why they crash and burn. But there are just as many, if not more, Christians who have a lot of spiritual input but are not doing anything. They're spiritually overfed. They're not engaging. And maybe, if that's you, no condemnation, but this is definitely about invitation. Ask God, what does obedience look like? Remember, imbalance happens when one of these are unduly emphasized at the expense of the others. I mentioned this at the first part of the show, but my husband just said today, anybody can be a hero in one or two areas of life, but it really does take someone of conviction and courage to line up all these areas of your life and be the same person on all these spheres and to do it in a way that bears fruit. So the idea of spiritual nourishment is, first, as we talked about the whole first half of the show today, is the idea that Jesus loves us. It starts and it ends with his love. And so since he loves us, we need to let him be the one to fill us. So here's just some practical application that you can maybe consider that just might help you, okay? Pause regularly and just pray, Lord, nourish my soul. Make me whole. Make my life reflect more of you and less of me. Creating me a heart to do your will so that from your perspective, I serve you about the things you care about. I tend to the things you care about above all. Something like that. Lord, nourish my soul. Make me whole. Help my life reflect you. Another one is pause and protect, pursue and protect your devotional times. Pursue and protect your devotional times. I would say not only should you spend regular time with God, but look forward with expectancy that God's going to multiply that time. I would go into that time prayerfully. You know, another one I would say is the night before church, whether you go on Saturday or night or Sunday morning, prepare your heart. I'd be careful what you do the night before so that you're not just kind of brain dead the next day, but go into that whole Sabbath mindset with expectancy. Lord, bless our pastor. Bless the worship time. Bless me. I want to hear from you. And connect me with people who need what you've deposited in me. That's engagement right there, you know? So to protect your devotional times, to go to the house of God with a soul engagement, to pray regularly, Lord, make me whole. I would say every morning, wake up and say, I am alive in Christ. And I tell you, say that out loud so your ears hear you. I'm getting stronger and healthier every single day. Also, something that I do is I pray before I read the Word of God. I just ask for an increased capacity to understand the truths in the Word. Just open the Word, whisper a prayer. Let me see you in here, Lord. Let me hear you. Let me hear your voice. I would say also meet him in a different place. Don't allow your devotional life to become rote or commonplace. Keep the love affair alive. You know, I'll tell you honestly, sometimes I lie face down on the floor and I just pray, Lord, if I could get any lower, I would. You're holy. Have mercy on me. Other times I recline in his presence and I just rest in him. And I approach him as an intimate friend and savior. Sometimes I just sit in silence for extended periods of time and just say, speak to me. You know, I just challenge you to keep it fresh, right? Keep it fresh. Kneel down when you read the word. Go face down. I dare you. If you've never raised your hands during a worship song, not just for the sake of form, but I'm just saying, surrender a little bit. Put your arms up as an act of surrender and worship to say, you are King. Hail King Jesus. I worship you. I would also say put some scripture passages where you spend a lot of time, especially verses after you've been sitting with the Lord and he speaks to you and gives you an inheritance verse kind of a thing or something that's really specific to your situation. Write it out on postcards and put it in a few places. It will be something that you have memorized in due time, and it's living and breathing, and it's yours, right? It's a verse that you own. I would say find an accountability partner, but not someone who's going to just kind of shake their finger at you. Someone who loves you, someone who calls you up, someone who doesn't just ask how you're doing, but they ask you how you're thinking, and you dare to do life honestly with each other. That's huge. I would say also cherish the quiet. When you come on a quiet moment, don't fill it with noise. Don't be quick to turn the TV on or to hop on Facebook. I would just be quiet, be still, and acknowledge God in that place. Ask him to speak in those places. Those are like mini Sabbath moments. Also, lie down and look up. You know, once in a while I just turn on some praise music, I lie down, and I just picture myself in the presence of God, and I just rest there. I mean, a song is like 4 minutes. It's amazing what those 4 minutes just acknowledging God can do for you. And then I would challenge you, don't neglect gathering with other believers, because we need each other. You've got gifts to deposit, right, into this group, and they've got gifts for you. We can't do this alone. That's why the enemy works so hard to isolate us. God will fill us when we're not filling ourselves with something else. And conversely, when we've already filled our minds and hearts and stomachs with the things of this world, we lose our taste for him. We lose our taste for the things of God. So every day, if you think about it, we make deposits in our lives, and we don't even always see those results right away. But at first, it's because they create kind of invisible changes. But eventually, those inward choices catch up with our outward lives. And before you know it, those choices have borne fruit. So we can either make the choice to just get by, or we can boldly invest in something bigger than ourselves. We start to be super intentional about the way you nourish yourself, about the way you engage your faith, and the way that you rest in God's presence. So what do you think? Do you feel like maybe your life could use a few tweaks? So here are some spiritual laws to live by, and these really do apply significantly so to our diet as well. Some of them overlap, some I guess don't, but here's one. Keep it colorful. Well, you know, in the physical realm, it's just good to have a colorful diet. Well, I would say in the spiritual realm, don't overload on one choice of nourishment. For example, don't say, I only learned from this one speaker or this one musician. Jesus has equipped a multitude of people for building his kingdom. And when you feast on one fruit, like, you know, in the physical realm, if you eat too many carrots, guess what happens? You turn orange. So I would challenge you to just broaden your palate a little bit, because, you know what, we run the risk of becoming narrow in our thinking and are really narrow in our acceptance of how things should be communicated. And there's a lot of pride in that. I think it's really good to remember that the narrow road and a narrow mind are not the same thing. God speaks in many ways. He speaks through donkeys, right? And it's his great pleasure to do so. So I just ask you, open your heart and mind to just, Lord, show me if there's another author I should read. My mentor reads in several denominational streams because she wants to be well-rounded. I love that about her. Another one is, a secret isn't a secret. So the big joke on the physical side of this book, I joked about this last week, was I used to think that if I ate a candy bar in the closet that I wasn't fattening, because if nobody saw me eat it, surely I wasn't getting the calories, right? But obviously that's not true. Well, the same thing in the spiritual realm. A secret isn't a secret. There are no secrets with God. We need to walk in the light, because those secret places that we're trying to hide from God and hide from others are wide open doors to the enemy. Those are access places. There's no secrets in the spiritual realm. So just be real about your struggles. And if you can't go to church to get free, where can you, you know? So be real with the people that you trust in your life, but may your higher goal is to be free and not to hide your stuff, right? Another one is, look past it. I didn't put this one in the physical realm, but this really does fit spiritually speaking. I remember one day years ago, I was preoccupied by so many things, and I caught myself just staring out the window, and I mulled over the worries in my mind. Well, and then I realized I was not even staring out the window. I was staring at the window. I was staring at the splotch on the window. It caught my gaze, and my eyes landed on that little spot that I really needed to clean on top of everything else I needed to get done. And I just felt my soul shriveling. And then a red cardinal landed on the branch, the nearby tree just outside. And I looked past the splotch, looked past my own immediate thoughts, and I noticed the trees just were, the leaves were just, you know, clapping their hands in the breeze, and this beautiful cardinal sitting on the branch. And it was just this gorgeous day, and I realized I'd been missing it because I was focusing on so much right in front of me. So maybe you're there. Look up and look past it. Look beyond it and look at some of the amazing gifts God has given you in this day. Remember the metabolic rule. This was in the physical realm as well. You go about more than 3 hours without eating, your metabolism will drop and your body goes into famine. So when you finally do eat, you'll burn those calories slower. So the charge was basically eat a little something every few hours. Ideally, protein would be great. Well, I'm making the application in the spiritual realm too. Remember the metabolic rule. If you go more than 3 hours without acknowledging God's presence, it doesn't make him love you less, but I think it does affect your own soul. Because when you remember that God is for you, that he loves you, he's by your side, and you take those moments to look up at the sky and just say, hey, God, thank you for walking through with me through this day. I'm so grateful that mercy follows me. You know, goodness pursues me all the days of my life. I just think it's powerful to keep your mindset on the things of God. Another one in the physical realm we talked about, don't eat at night. It's just you sleep better. Typically, most people, unless you have low blood sugar, then you should have a little protein at night. Well, in this particular law, spiritual law, do eat at night. I think it's really important to bookend your day with thoughts of God. Kevin and I have a couple different devotionals we keep at our bedside, just short little things to read. And we shut the screens off, we hop in bed, and we sit up and we read a short devotional and pray. Our most extensive time is in the morning, but there's something so powerful about bookending your day and really putting God in his place and his rightful place in your life over all your cares. I'm telling you, it'll help you sleep better. Talked about this in physical health, but it applies here in spiritual health. Practice partial fasts. I think it's extremely important to say no to your flesh and make your flesh deal with it. It's so life-giving, I'm telling you. So if you find yourself white-knuckling certain things, making allowances for certain things, practice partial fasting. Lay it down and say, Lord, I'm creating space because I want to hear from you. Here's another one. Here's a spiritual law. Listen, really listen. When you approach each day with your ears open, full of expectancy that God's going to speak to you, you'll be nourished beyond your expectations. When you hear a worship song on the radio, focus your attention on the words and ponder what they're saying to you. When someone you love is speaking to you, look up. Give them your full attention. Look in their eyes. You know, notice their smile. Ask the Lord what your response should be. That's full engagement, right? Another spiritual law is guard your heart. Keep it a sacred place. Out of it flows the issues of life. That's what Scripture says. So be careful. Look at your heart as a sacred place. Be careful what you allow in, right, and how you nourish yourself. Purity, humility, faith, courage, conviction, these are not flowery, gooey emotions. These traits are wrought through the thickest of battles, the fiercest of fights. It takes a warrior to guard your heart, to keep it a sacred, pure place so that pure, full, abundant life can flow from you. Here's another spiritual law. Take responsibility for your spiritual health. You know, when you think about it, it's not your pastor's job, your husband's job, your friend's job to make sure you stay on track spiritually. Now, granted, we need each other. But it's your job to take responsibility, to create some space to be with God, to ask God to give you a vision for your life, right? Well, another spiritual law is to use your strength. And what I mean by that is when you feel strong in the Lord, use that strength to take extra ground. In other words, pray with more passion, serve with more presence, listen with more diligence. If God has got you in a special place of favor, it isn't just for your health. It's because he has something more for you to do. So take advantage of that time. Run the race to win the prize, right? I mentioned carving out your quiet time. I want to just, before we go to our last break, read this amazing quote from A.W. Tozer. Listen to this. And again, if you're driving, you can't close your eyes. But if you're anywhere else, breathe and take this in. It's so fantastic. Retire from the world each day to some private spot, even if it's only the bedroom. For a while, I retreated to the furnace room for want of a better place. That's Tozer saying that. Stay in the secret place till the surrounding noises begin to fade out of your heart and a sense of God's presence envelops you. Deliberately tune out the unpleasant sounds and come out of your closet determined not to hear them. Listen for the inward voice till you learn to recognize it. Stop trying to compete with others. Give yourself to God and then be what and who you are without regard to what others think. Hear that again. Stop trying to compete with others. Give yourself to God and then be what and who you are without regard to what others think. Listen to this. Reduce your interests to a few. Don't try to know what will be of no service to you. Pray for a single eye. Read less, but read more of what's important to your inner life. Never let your mind remain scattered for very long. Call home your roving thoughts. Gaze on Christ with the eyes of your soul. Practice spiritual concentration. Isn't that good? We're going to pause here. We're going to come back. We'll talk a little bit more about spiritual engagement and rest And again, at the end of each chapter, I ask a different gal, what keeps you balanced? Heidi says, I get out of balance when I'm out of the Word. Also, I need physical rest. If I try to pack too much in my schedule, I get sick and I get crabby. So I stay grounded when I stay in the Word and when I refuse to get over busy. We've got 5 copies of In Over Your Head. I would love to get one into your hands. You enter the drawing this way. Email me this time, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put balance or In Over Your Head in the subject line, and we'll be back in a minute.
Is an encore presentation of Live the Promise with Susie Larson.
Talk about spiritual health. You just need to put songs like that on, lay down, and let the words just pour over you, you know, because we are children of the Most High God. That's who we are. He's made us for a divine purpose. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. Talking today about spiritual momentum and health. Last week we talked physical health, drawing from my book, In Over Your Head, Creating Balance and Finding Peace in the Busy. We've got 5 copies to get into your hands. I'd love your name in the drawing if you'd like. We're doing a little different this time. I want you to email me directly. Susie is spelled S-U-S-I-E, Susie@myfaithradio.com. You can either put balance or In Over Your Head in the subject line, and your name will go in the drawing. 5 of you will get a copy of this book. So, talking about balance, we talk input, output, and recovery. And if you start to look at it that way, if you start to notice I'm all output right now and I'm not getting enough input, you can predict a crash and burn. If you're all input and not output, you know what I'm saying? If you are taking too much in, if you're spiritually overfed, but you're not engaging with the things of God, maybe you're self-protecting, you're staying in your comfort zone, I can predict for you that you will continue to feel lethargic spiritually. You'll feel disconnected. You'll feel disillusioned because we're blessed to be a blessing. God pours in so he can pour through us, right? And this is so important. So one of the aspects of spiritual health, we talked about guarding your heart. I want to talk about guarding your mind. I have a whole chapter dedicated to our thought life because it's so important and nobody can fight this battle for you. But I'm wondering if some practical tips might just help you listening today. So here's one that helped me. I learned all of these the hard way. But here's one. During times of fatigue, abandon all introspection and just rest. And that came from, I would come off of speaking events many years ago when I was a fairly new speaker, and I would start to worry about everything from, you know, saying something wrong, I should have said it better, to just everything in the whole world. And my husband would look at me and go, honey, are you contemplating the universe again? And I realized I contemplated the universe whenever I was tired. So hard-fought wisdom here, okay? During times of fatigue, abandon all introspection and just rest. So just tell your brain, I'm not going there. I'm tired. Not going there. Like, shut the door and lock it for now. Protect yourself, because when you're tired is when you're most vulnerable. Just true, right? Do not give your thoughts free rein during oversensitive moments. And you know when those are. And it's okay. If it's unique to you, what makes you feel sensitive and kind of on the edge, worn thin, totally okay. We're all different that way. But in such times, do not give your thoughts free rein. If you must, I say this, take sides against yourself. Take your thoughts captive. Make them obedient to God. But just say, I am not going there. Here's another one. Never, ever, ever, ever entertain thoughts of what others might think about you. Never entertain thoughts of what others might think about you. Soon as you catch yourself wondering what someone thinks about you, draw a line in the sand again, shut the door, and lock it. Even people of position and status, it doesn't matter. And when you start to give them power, whether they know it or not, you're giving away something of yourself that belongs to Jesus. So never, ever entertain thoughts of what others might think about you. You'll gain nothing in the process, and you'll lose precious time, perspective, and energy. So these things are needed for a healthy life, guarding your heart, guarding your mind, not giving the power away to the wrong people, right? Scripture says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. That's Proverbs 29:25. Here's another one. Don't think about yourself for too long. I mean, if you catch yourself being preoccupied with yourself and everything is about you, maybe stop, because C.S. Lewis calls this diseased introspection. And I once pondered this many years ago, and I was shocked. I couldn't believe how often I thought about myself. And the more I thought about myself, I couldn't believe how bad I was, which made me think about myself more. So you see where this goes? So if you catch yourself thinking too much about yourself, think about other people. Cross the street in your mind is like, what's life like for them? I wonder what kind of burdens they're carrying. I wonder what makes them thirsty. Let your thoughts go to other people. Were you wondering what life must be like for them? Kind of enter their story. It'll make a big difference. Here's one. Be thankful in your thoughts, in your prayers, out loud, in a song. Be thankful every step of the way. This will honor God, and it'll nourish your soul. Here's another one. Memorize scripture. The word is your weapon against the lies of the enemy. And there are powerful verses that have your name on them. So if you put them on a postcard like we were talking earlier, you really will memorize them. You just read them every day. You pray them every day. They'll get into that long-term memory. Here again, this is kind of goes along the line with all these points. Keep a tight rein on your thoughts. You know, scripture says if you're raised with Christ, seek then those things that are above, where Christ is at the right hand. Set your mind on things above. Great tips just for practicing to protection of your thought life. I think it's incredibly important. Okay, so we talked physical health and balance, and we're talking spiritual health and balance. Just as there, as I said, divine laws basically of nature when it comes to physical engagement, there are divine laws in the spiritual realm for spiritual strength training. And you'll notice a number of these apply to our physical fitness. Like here's one, and it seems obvious, but it's good to know. Heavy things make us stronger, you know. And when you are in physical fitness, when you're engaging and lifting weights and you do it the right way, over time, the muscle actually breaks down, builds back up, and you've got a new threshold. Heavy things make us stronger. And when we are walking through a season of life spiritually where we feel like we've got more than we can handle, sometimes we have to change how we carry it. Because there are certain heavy weights you carry in the natural, you carry them wrong, you'll throw your back out. But you kind of pull them close to your core and you kind of soften your knees and your shoulders are back. You can carry more when you carry it correctly. If things feel too heavy for you, ask God to show you how to carry it. Ask Him if you're carrying something that belongs to Him. Because if you're carrying the yoke that He's assigned to you, you will come through this thing stronger. But it does matter how we carry it, and it matters that we not carry things that Jesus promised He would carry for us, right? Okay? Resistance in life is not without its purpose. Resistance is like stress, physical strength training. Resistance, you can see it with bands, with muscle, with push-ups, all those things where you're pushing against something. Well, in the same way, in the spiritual realm, there are things pressing against us, opposition that feels overwhelming. But Scripture says in 1 John 5:4-5, every child of God defeats the evil of this world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The resistance in your life is not without purpose, but once again, there's a way to stand in it. And as you're standing, raising your shield, kind of taking your stand, you will come through it and you'll be spiritually more agile, spiritually stronger. And that same resistant training is that when you break down your muscle, it breaks down old limitations and you build up a new threshold. I think we all see that. When you walk through a battle, you come through the other side and you're thinking, I'm different because of this. It would lesser things would have totally flipped me upside down, but they seem like lesser things because I have a new threshold. Another spiritual law is atrophy. You know that in the physical realm, use it or lose it, right? And when you're not using your muscles, they get soft and you lose your gains. Well, Scripture says, live up to what you already know. Engage your faith. Apply your faith. Stay with it in the things of God. Engage your faith muscle. If there's nothing in your life right now where you're engaging your faith, then engage your faith because you can't please God. So then you say, Lord, what impossible thing do you want me to believe you for? What way do you want me to step out of my comfort zone? God loves prayers like that. If you've been too long in your comfort zone, too long in comfort, and it's been too long since you've engaged your faith, it's time to step up and it's time to do it. And God wants to do that through you, right? God has more for you. I might have told this story in the show before as we get ready to wrap here in just a moment, but I got to share it here. I was on my way home from college in a van with a bunch of other students, and I was in I was still fairly new as a believer, and I was reading a Watchman Nee book, and I wish I could remember which one it was, but all I remember is how it made me feel. And it was like my life real passed before my eyes, and I realized how most of what I had done was with me in mind. I mean, I had such deep insecurity. And insecurity is just another form of selfishness. And I begged God for mercy, and in that place, I started to see the importance of doing not only the right thing, but doing it for the right reason. Which brings me back full circle to how I started this show. The right reason is we live out of the love of God. We live in response to His love. So if you want so much to see momentum, power, passion, purpose in your life, get back to your first love. Take your marching orders from Him. If you're engaged in things that God doesn't want you to do anymore, find a way to get out of them and recover that balance so you can find the ebb and flow that God has for you. Well, where has the time gone? I ran out of time to pray, but I hope this was encouraging to you today. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. You can find a podcast of this program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Be sure to share this conversation with a friend who would be strengthened by it today. You can do that by clicking the share button under the audio link. Take some time to browse our website as well for new articles and content about growing in your faith in Jesus Christ. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.